Brad Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, PhD in Government and Politics from the University of Maryland, has a lot of expertise, including American political development, constitutional politics, and American institutions. All right, Brad Hayes, I always love to talk to you because I like to talk about the Supreme Court a little bit. I'm getting lots of letters like the present president, Barack Obama, could have put his nominee for Supreme Court in and serving until somebody else was nominated. Is that true?
No. As a kind of a functional answer, he could not because the Senate has not properly recessed to enable a recess appointment. So there is, of course, a provision in the Constitution that allows for the appointment, a temporary appointment of a vacancy while Congress is out of session, called a recess appointment. And this used to be a regular practice. But as kind of an opposition tactic, Senate Republicans have essentially refused to adjourn the Senate. And this actually was contested before the United States Supreme Court, saying that you can't have kind of this going on in perpetuity. And what the Supreme Court essentially ruled was that so long as there is some measure of business every basically 2 to 3 days, the Senate is not adjourned. And so what Republicans have done is sent a local Republican into the chamber to read something from a piece of paper once every several days. And that continues the business of the chamber. And as that continues, it prevents Obama from making any recess appointments.
So there, everybody, stop writing me letters. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the politics of Trump's cabinet appointments so far. We see General Flynn needs a waiver. The last guy who got one was who? George Marshall. But I don't think there'll be any problem in getting him one from this particular Senate, will there?
No, I don't think so. And I think what we're going to see is maybe not easy sailing for many of these nominees, but that the vote isn't really in question. In other words, that the tactic for Democrats pretty much across the board is going to be to try to perhaps delay and unsettle, create some degree of tension between the nominees and President Trump, and create some discord in that way, attempt to score some points. But at the end of the day, a rejection by the Senate is extremely rare. I believe the last one was under the first Bush, H.W. Bush. And, you know, every now and then somebody runs into trouble and will withdraw from consideration. That happens a little bit more frequently. But my sense of the universe is that most of these nominees, as controversial as they are, as little as we know about them, given that they haven't completed all the disclosures, particularly financial disclosures, that are usually kind of requisite to going to a confirmation proceeding, that they will still manage to get through because they have the votes.
I want to talk to you about that word requisite. It's interesting. It's not law, is it? In other words, they have to fill out these forms, and it's always been done, and everybody says it's proper. Nevertheless, it is something that the law doesn't say you have to do.
That's right. So there is, at least to the best of my understanding, there has been essentially a consensus that the Senate needs to have a sufficient amount of information about the background of a nominee in order to move forward with a confirmation.
And in fact, Brad Hayes, the majority leader of the United States Senate, Mitch McConnell, has insisted with Obama that that be absolutely done. They were going to need that. And now, somewhat hypocritically, he turns around and casts a blind eye.
Yeah, absolutely. They have said, right, the Republican justification is that they want to ensure that Trump has a full cabinet on day one, can hit the ground running, blah, 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 blah. And so, therefore, they're willing to move forward. But it's interesting, kind of.
You
the
say
strategy.
Willing, I say anxious to move forward.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Yeah. Because if you look at the way in which they've packaged this, right, yeah. That they are having, I think, about 6 confirmation hearings on the same day this week, it suggests a way of limiting the amount of attention that can go to any single nominee. And given that many of these are unconventional nominees, very few, almost none, in fact, have experience leading a federal agency, and most of them have very little experience in governance. That is clearly designed in some ways to try to smooth the waters as much as possible to enable the confirmation.
And I suppose that what we really have to do, you and I have been around this block a few times, is to watch who the number two person in each of these, because those are going to be the political people who are basically running these agencies.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's, you know, I usually would certainly agree with that sentiment. But there is this difficulty in assessing what is going to go on in terms of the leadership style of the Trump administration. You know, there's been some thought that, in fact, the agencies aren't going to be where the central action is. In fact, you know, he's going to Trump is going to kind of send off his people out there, and then he's going to do a lot of the governing in the subject areas of each of the administration from the White House. In other words, that he's going to rely on individuals that didn't have to go through the confirmation process, individuals that are very close to him and that he's going to see on a daily basis, you know, his advisors that are in the White House, and that's going to be his governing strategy. But if that's not the case, then we're going to see, in fact, the type of leadership style that we may not have seen before in many of these agencies, in the sense that the experience that is being brought to the agencies is largely a kind of a corporate experience. And we'll see then how that plays out and whether that's successful, because there's a big difference between being a CEO of a company and being the head of administrative agency. You don't have the same kind of command and control in an administrative agency that you do in a corporation, and you have the shadow of Congress and its investigatory authority that you have to deal with as the head of an administrative agency. So there are all different kinds of wrinkles and nuances that you know are going to be different. And so when it comes to the lead that these agencies take, I expect some degree of change from what we've seen in the past.
It's always great to talk to our friend Professor Brad Hayes on the Congressional Corner. Brad Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. Great friend of the show, and we appreciate your showing up every time, as cold as it is out there, Brad.
Thanks so much, Alan.